Hey guys, welcome to Cultural Kitchen. This is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. So, Cultural Kitchen is a show that airs on every Friday from 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. Every show, we will be talking about different cultures of food. So, we will be breaking down the show in three segments. The first segment, we'll just give you guys a background information of just the culture. The second segment will be about popular dishes and how to make them. The third segment, I will be telling you guys about different restaurants that you should try all over California. So, we are on show 4, and we're almost halfway. So, that's exciting. So, the cuisine that I am doing today is located directly south of the United States. It's slightly less than 3 times the size of Texas. 2 major mountain ranges run through the country's interior, which is the Sierra Madre Oriental on the east and the Sierra Madre Occidental on the west. Between the mountain chains lies the Great Central Highland Plateau, and it borders the Pacific Ocean to the west and the Gulf of Mexico and Caribbean Sea to the east. Can you guys guess what country I am talking about this time? So, if you guessed Mexico, you are correct. Woo! So, this show number 4, we will be talking about Mexican cuisine. So, let's get started with segment number 1. Again, this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on radio.dominican.edu. Alright. Mexico has a wide range of natural environments, but the temperature there is generally mild year-round. The coastal plains and lower areas of southern Mexico are usually hot and humid. Mexico City, the country's capital, and other inland areas are at higher elevations and are generally drier. So if you're around that area, definitely drink a lot of water. Annual rainfalls may exceed till 200 inches in the more tropical zones of the coastal areas, while parts of Baja California receive very little precipitation. Alright, so let's give you a background information of the, let's give you some information about the history and the food. So, back in the year of 1517, when the Europeans arrived in Mexico, Mexico's native peoples, they include the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the Zapotec. Their diets consisted mainly of corn, beans, peppers, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, squash, and herbs. Chocolate, which is native to Mexico, was considered a drink fit for royalty. The Indians occasionally hunted, adding wild turkey, rabbit, deer, and quail to their vegetarian diet. So, when the Spanish explorers landed in Mexico, they introduced livestock, which included cattle, sheep, pigs, goats, and chicken. So later on the journey to the New World, the Spanish also brought plants from Asia, such as sugarcane and wheat. Since Spain ruled over Mexico for over 300 years, so they have a lot of influence on them. So by the time Mexico gained its independence, Spain has left its mark on its people and culture, including their cuisine. All right, so like last week's cuisine, like South African cuisine, corn is a basis of Mexican diet, as it has been for thousands of years. It can be found in almost every meal, usually in the form of a tortilla. Corn can also be boiled to produce something called a pozole, which is a hearty corn stew. Popular fruits and vegetables are tomatoes, tomatillos, which is a green tomato, squash, sweet potato, avocado, mango, pineapple, papaya, and nopales, which is a prickly pear cactus. Never had that before. Though beef is consumed, chicken and pork are more common throughout the Mexican diet. There's a variety of chilies, including the widely known jalapeno, as well as the poblano, serrano, and chipotle. Chilies give Mexican cooking a distinctive flavor, which is often enhanced with herbs such as cilantro, thyme, and other spices, including cumin, cinnamon, and cloves. Cheese and eggs are also part of their diet. Seafood is pretty much most common in the coastal dishes. Although Mexican cuisine is a blend of Indian and Spanish influence, most Mexican dishes are cheap and widely available. Bread and pastries are sold, but the tortilla is usually bought daily at a local tortilla stand, which is pretty cool because we don't have tortilla stands up here in the United States, or at least I don't think so. And it's pretty much what they would have for a typical meal. Flour tortillas are also eaten, especially in northern Mexico. But the corn variety is the most popular. American soft drinks such as Coca-Cola. It has been very popular in Mexico in recent decades. But fruit-flavored soda drinks are also widely consumed, as are fresh fruit juices. Many of those are available from street vendors. So what I looked up is, when you looked up Mexican, they have Mexico like drinks. Like they would have like these little drink stands, which is pretty cool. You should try looking that up. And then also sangria, which is an import from Spain, and beer are also very popular beverages. Also, coffee is normally served spiced and sweet. Alright, so let's talk about some food for religious and holiday celebrations. So, during the centuries of Spanish rule over Mexico, the majority of Mexicans were forced to convert to Christianity. Christian holidays include Christmas Eve and Christmas, and it's celebrated with great enjoyment and family meals. Many festivities include native Indian traditions, during Holy Week, which leads up to Easter, meat is typically not consumed. So, Dia de los Tres Reyes, sorry for my pronunciation, which is called the Three Kings Day, which is on January 6th, and Dia de los Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead on October 30th, are occasions for more celebrations, which on those days, on the Three Kings Day, a special sweet bread, which is called Rosca de Reyes, is eaten. Typical menu for the Day of the Dead on October 30th includes empanadas, which is a meat-filled turnovers, which is imported from Spain. They also eat tamales, which is a steamed corn husk with various fillings, including shredded pork. They also have chicken or turkey, all that. So the Day of the Dead is during which Mexicans decorate and picnic on graves of their dead relatives. So it gives them a time to celebrate. So let's talk about how they would celebrate Christmas. So on 8 nights before Christmas, friends and neighbors traveled from house to house, stopping at selected houses to sing and recite lines, many which is very similar to a lot of Christians do that. And at the last door, they are welcomed inside for festivities, including the breaking of the piñata. How many of you played with a piñata when you were young? I remember breaking a piñata, actually, being the one who actually broke it compared to all the other kids, and a whole bunch of candy fell out, which was really fun. That's the favorite part of piñata for every kid, getting candy. All right. Other typical foods include other typical foods during this time include Buñuelos, which is a thin fried pastry, which is covered in sugar, and ponche, which is fruit punch. So let's talk about some mealtime customs. Mexican breakfast usually includes coffee and a pan of sweet rolls. Eggs are also eaten on occasion, but not as much. Huevos rancheros, which is served with tortillas and beans, is also a very popular breakfast dish. Comida, which is lunch in Mexican, it's the main meal of the day, and it's eaten between 1 and 3 p.m. It consists of soup, a meat dish, rice, tortillas, coffee, and dessert. Cena, which is the word for supper. It's usually a light meal eaten after 9 p.m. However, in Mexican cities and other urban areas, dinner can be an elaborate meal eaten in one of many restaurants. So, snacks are... So, what do they eat for snacks? Snacks are called antojitos, which literally means little whims. and it's eaten at any time of day. Many snacks could include a beefsteak taco, a tostada, which is a fried flat tortilla, which is topped with tomatoes, onions, lettuce, and cilantro, or a sope, which is a lightly grilled corn dough, often served with salsa or beans. A child's lunch could consist of a torta, which is a sandwich of cheese, avocado, and sausage. Or a quesadilla, which is a folded flat tortilla filled with melted cheese. Many street vendors sell slices of pineapple, a sweet root vegetable, which is called a jicama, with a wedge of lime, and elotes, which is a steamed corn on the cob, which is served with butter and shredded cheese. Ice cream and fruit ices are very popular as well. Although Americans' fast food has entered Mexican diet, street stands and market stalls continue to make and sell traditional Mexican foods. So sometimes maybe in California, you'll be walking by and see like a mini fruit stand. You should stop by because definitely try out one of their the pineapples. And sometimes you can ask them to put the Mexican chili sauce on top, and it's great with it. All right, so this ends segment number one, and this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen. I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes. Have a good break.
I'm responsible. You Did You Know? Brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know that Dominican University is 12 miles from San Francisco and is on 80 wooded acres with 220 species of trees, including redwoods, dogwoods, coast live oaks, and bay trees? Do You Did You Know? Is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
You got it, dude.
Penguin Radio.
Miracles and wonders.
Welcome back from the break. So, this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So, if you missed out on the first segment, I gave you a background information on the cuisine, a specific cuisine that I chose for this week. So, what I chose is Mexican cuisine. So, and for segment number two, I will be telling you guys about three recipes that you guys can try at home. So, let's get started with some huevos rancheros, which is ranch-style eggs. So, in their customs, it's usually eaten for breakfast, and it's served with tortillas and beans. It is a very popular breakfast dish, so maybe tomorrow morning, if you want to stop by the market later tonight and pick up these ingredients to make this for breakfast tomorrow morning, you should do that. Alright, so let's get started. So, for huevos rancheros, you would need 4 corn tortillas, 1/4 cup of vegetable oil, 2 cups of salsa, 4 large eggs, 1 cup of white cheese, and you would need that cheese grated, and 1 avocado that's sliced. Okay, so let's get started. So what you would do is you would get a skillet and heat the oil over a medium to high heat. Then you would add the tortilla one at a time and fry each for about 5 seconds until it's softened but not crisp. So you do not want it crispy. So after that, don't forget to get out some paper towels, and after frying them, you would put it on the paper towels to drain the oil out. Then you would heat a small amount of vegetable oil in a large skillet over a medium to high heat. And you would break the 4 eggs into the skillet and fry them. And then after 2 to 3 minutes on each side of the eggs, or until the egg whites are cooked but the yolk is no longer runny, you would place a tortilla on each of the 4 dinner plates, topping each tortilla with a fried egg. After that, you can pour a 1/2 cup of salsa over each egg and top it with 1/4 cup of cheese and a few slices of avocado. So after that, you have your breakfast all ready to go. So, definitely try that at home for tomorrow morning breakfast, or maybe Sunday morning breakfast, whatever you want. Or maybe you can have it for a late night snack, that works too. Breakfast is always good in the middle of the night. Alright, so let's move on to the second recipe. So, the second recipe I chose to share with you guys, it's a Mexican empanada. And like I said before, if you were listening, Mexican empanadas are usually eaten during the Day of the Dead, which is on October 30th. So, what is in this recipe? Let me tell you that right now. So, the ingredients are two 17.3-ounce package of Pepperidge Farm puff pastry sheets, one egg, 1 tablespoon of water, 1/2 pound of ground pork, 1 small red pepper, which is diced into about 2/3 of a cup, 4 medium green onions, chopped to about 1/2 cup, 1 garlic clove, which is minced, 1/2 cup of tomato sauce, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/8 of a teaspoon of crushed red pepper, 1 1/2 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, which is, if you want to weigh it, it's about 6 ounces. 1 can of black beans that's rinsed and drained. 1/4 cup of chopped cilantro leaves. 1 cup of sour cream, and 1 cup of guacamole. Alright, so let's get started with that. So, first, you would heat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. After that, you would beat the water and the egg in a small bowl with a fork or a whisk, or maybe chopsticks if you want to do that. That's how I beat egg. That's how I whisk eggs at home. I use chopsticks. Then you will cook the pork in a 12-inch skillet over a medium-high heat until it's well browned. And while you're cooking it, you would stir often to separate the meat. Then you would stir in the diced red pepper, onions, and garlic and cook it until it's tender. Then, after that, you would also add in the tomato sauce, cumin, chili powder, and crushed red peppers. So you would stir that in until it's well stirred, and then you would take down the heat to low. So you would cook the mixture for about 5 minutes on low heat. After that, you should remove the skillet and place it on a cooling rack. Then you should stir in the cheese, also the 1 cup of beans and the cilantro, and you should let the mixture cool to a room temperature. So, now for the fun part. So, after that, you would do this is separately. So, you would unfold the, as you're waiting for the mixture to cool, you would unfold 1 pastry sheet on a lightly floured surface. You would roll the pastry sheet into a 16 by 12 inch rectangle. And you would cut it into 2.5-inch circles. So you would repeat with the remaining pastry sheets, which makes about 40 in all with the amount of ingredients that I gave you. And so you should have about 40 circles. After that, you should spoon 1 teaspoon of the pork. So as soon as the pork mixture is nicely cooled into room temperature, you would spoon 1 teaspoon of pork mixture on 1/2 of each pastry circle. Then you would brush the edges of the pastry with water and you would fold the pastry over the filling and crimp with a fork to seal. So, after that, you would place the filled pastries onto a baking sheet and then brush the pastries with the egg mixture that you started off with in the beginning. So, once you have those all placed out, you can bake it in the 375 degrees oven, and you would bake it for 15 minutes or until the pastries are golden brown. After that, you would remove the pastries from the baking sheets and let it cool on cooling racks for about 10 minutes, and then they should be ready to be served. So many people like empanadas served with sour cream, guacamole, or just beans. After that, you can sit down and enjoy this for a snack, lunch, dinner, midnight snack, whatever you want. Alright, so this is how to make Mexican empanadas. So, let's get on to the third recipe. So, the third recipe is called Rosca de Reyes, which is a Three Kings sweet bread. It's described as a Mexican version of the traditional Spanish bread, if you ever had that. So, let me tell you the ingredients. So, for the dough, you would need 1.5 ounces of compressed yeast, 1/2 cup of warm water, 1 cup, 1 1/4 cups of sugar, 1/8 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 3/4 cups of butter, which is at room temperature, 8 1/2 cups of flour, and 8 eggs. Alright, so for the paste ingredients, you would need 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of butter, 1 egg, and 1 3/4 cups of flour. And you can also, this is optional, but you can have candied fruits as well on it. So, let's get started. So, to make the dough, you would crumble the yeast into the warm water, and you would set it aside. And then, in a large mixing bowl, you would mix together the sugar, cinnamon, and the butter. And then after it's mixed thoroughly, you would also add in the eggs and then the dissolved yeast. So as you're mixing that, you would want to add the flour a little at a time until the dough is smooth and stretchy. After that, after it's nicely mixed into a smooth and stretchy-like texture, you would want to get a large baking sheet and shape the dough into a ring and press the ends together to make a full circle. You would cover the ring with a clean cloth or dish towel and let it sit in a warm place to rise for 2 hours. So after 2 hours, you should preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit just right before baking. And now, so that's how you make the dough. So now to make the paste, you would mix together the butter, the sugar, and then you would add in the eggs. And then, just like how you make the dough, you would gradually mix in the flour. So after that's nicely mixed together, let me tell you what the paste can be used for. The paste is used to decorate the top of the cake once it has risen before it's baked. The typical decoration is rays that come out from the center. Candied fruits may be pressed into the cake before baking, or on top, your choice. So after that, after you put the paste on top, you can bake the cake from 30 to 40 minutes or until the cake is golden brown. So that is how you make the Three Kings sweet bread. So that's it for the segment number two. And this is, let's take a quick break. And this is DJ Sizzle. Thank you for listening to Cultural Kitchen at Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes. Thank you.
expire. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind, and you're the key to
Welcome back from the break. So, I am DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So, Cultural Kitchen is pretty much about food around the whole world. Each week, we focus on a different type of cuisine. So, this week, we are on Mexican cuisine. And for the first two segments, I talked about the background information of the culture and gave you some recipes for segment number two. So we are on segment number three. And in segment number three, I will be telling you guys about some restaurants you can try all around California. So, in Northern California, there's this place. Oh, I'm sorry. There's this place called La Taquera Menudo. It's spelled LATAQUERIA MENUDO. It's located on Mission Street in San Francisco. It has 4 stars on Yelp. And so some of the reviews say, one person said, "I miss this place like crazy." It's capitalized. When I go back to LA, and wish with all my heart that I could find a place that has carne asada like this place. So if you guys ever check out this place, you should definitely try their carne asada plate. It seems like a very popular choice here. Another review said, "They give a huge portion for the price that was definitely worth it to spend $7 for a super burrito. I got 2 meals out of that burrito." So that's a pretty good deal. So if you're running low on money and you have $7, you want to spend it just for a whole day, why not just spend it on a super burrito and get 2 meals out of it? Alright, so that's La Taquera Menudo. It's on Mission Street in San Francisco. So the next place is called Tropis Bueno. It's spelled as TROPISUENO. And this Mexican restaurant is located on Yerba Buena Lane in San Francisco. So it has 4 stars and over 2,500 reviews on Yelp. So some of the reviews said, "The enchiladas were tasty and moist and not smothered in cheese, as they so often are." Another review said, "The Violeta is a fresh, sweet take on a margarita. The salsas are complex and flavorful, and the entrees are equally fresh and flavorful." So, another review also said, "This is some pretty solid Mexican food. They have great margaritas, good chips and salsa, and I never had anything here I definitely didn't like. The portions are huge, so it's worth the money. I wouldn't say it's the best Mexican food I've had, but this place has a fun vibe and is especially great for a good lunch with coworkers and friends." Alright, so this is Tropis Bueno, and it's located on Yerba Buena Lane in San Francisco. So if you're around that area, definitely check that place out. Alright, so the next place I'm going to be talking about is located above the Golden Gate Bridge. It's in the city of San Rafael. And this place is called Casa Manana Restaurant. I actually went there myself and tried it. The food there, it's really good. The portions are huge. So I'm going to be talking about this place. So if you're ever around the area, yeah, go try that place out as well. It's in San Rafael. It's called Casa Manana Restaurant. It has 4 stars on Yelp. So some reviews say it's a delicious dinner. I had the enchilada varlarta, which is, and it has, they have extremely friendly staff and lots of variety on the menu. Another review said they're always open and you can sit outside in the courtyard. Funny, but they are inside a medical office building, but in a nice setting. So, I went with my friend's parents and they took us to this place and we were trying to look for their restaurant and it was really hard. But we eventually found it. It is inside like a medical office building. So it was really hard, but luckily we came across a sign that pointed us to that direction. But it's located like right in the middle and it's a very cute setting. It's a nice place to go out on a date. And it's really relaxing there. So, if you're in Santa Fe, check this place out. So, the next place I'll be talking about is let's talk about some places in Southern California. So, in Los Angeles, on Main Street, there's this place called Casa Ladonia. And this place has 4.5 stars on Yelp. And some of the reviews say the salsas are to die for, but they will light you up even if you're a spicy lover. My friend will definitely love that. She loves spicy food. I myself am not really for spicy food. But if you are a spicy lover, try their salsas. So, another review said, for the second Taco Tuesday in as many months, I gallivanted into Casa Ladonia, and it was beyond satisfying. Alright, so this is Casa Ladonia, and it's located in Main Street in Los Angeles. So, if you're in the LA area, check that place out. So, our last restaurant is called Chichen Itza Restaurant. It's a cool name for a restaurant. Chichen Itza Restaurant. It's located in Los Angeles. It's on Grand Avenue. So, this place has 4.5 stars on Yelp, and they have, so let me read you some reviews. So, this person said, I usually order the cochinita pibble, which is just a slow-roasted pork marinated in anchovy sauce. And it tastes sublime. Another review said, they have this habanero sauce and it goes really well with pretty much any of the dishes that you get. Alright, so another reviewer said, they have a very nice authentic food and all the servers and workers there are very kind and very welcoming. This place is one of my go-to Mexican restaurants. Alright, so this ends segment number 3. Thank you for listening to Cultural Kitchen. I'm DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'll talk to you guys in a week.